Our Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you like the joy at harvest time, like the celebration when people divide the plunder. For you have shattered the yoke that burdened them. You have broken the bar on their shoulders and the rod of their oppressor, as you did in the day of Midian. Every boot that marched in battle and the garments rolled in blood will be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The authority to rule will rest on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no limit to his authority and no end to the peace he brings. He will rule on David's throne and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from now on into eternity. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah speaks about the coming Christ hundreds of years before Jesus was born. Isaiah says in our reading tonight, people walking in darkness have seen a great light. For those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. He speaks of us living in darkness. Walking in darkness is bewildering. You cannot see where you are going. You cannot anticipate problems or dangers. You might not get to where you're going because you don't know how to get there. You might not even know where you're supposed to go in the deep darkness. This is a good description of us. What is life all about? You might get as many answers to that question as there are the people that you encounter. Everybody has different ideas of what happiness is. There are different goals for life. On good days, people try their best to get to where they think they will be happy. On bad days, people don't even try. Maybe make peace with the darkness, bide their time, wait for it all to be over. Since some people try more and other people try less, it might seem as though they should not be put into the same group. It might seem as though some people have their stuff together. They're going someplace. But this is an illusion. We are all in the darkness. It's like being in a cave where there is no light whatsoever. Whoever is in that place is in the darkness. It doesn't matter if people are moving around a lot or a little or not at all. Perhaps it's nobler to move about. At least that's trying. The thought is that if you can keep trying and you never give up, then maybe you'll find the light. Maybe you'll arrive at happiness. But this almost makes the situation worse. If everywhere you decide to go is necessarily going to be the wrong place, then you're always only busy getting to the wrong place. It's like Sisyphus from Greek mythology. His punishment in Hades was that he had to roll an immense boulder all the way up the hill. And then once he got to the top of the hill, the boulder would run down the hill again, and he'd have to do it all over. Fighting against the darkness, looking for meaning and happiness, sounds like it's the thing we should be doing. What good is it, though, if all that striving comes to nothing? In contrast to this dreary darkness, Isaiah's claim, God's claim concerning the Christ is just as stark and grand as it sounds. People walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, upon them, light has dawned. There is darkness and there is light. All live in the darkness, no matter how relatively successful each might be. The light, that's Jesus. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, the light that no darkness can overcome. This sounds like it's automatically a good thing. Our problems are solved. In a place where everything is pitch black, to have the light suddenly appear, well, that's marvelous. There's no other way of getting out of the darkness, after all, except the light should come. This is all true. But the light of Christ is not always welcome. Jesus says, "This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light. They loved the darkness because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does worthless things hates the light and does not come near the light, otherwise their works would be exposed." This at least has to be said in defense of the darkness. Darkness seems to give us the freedom to pursue what we want. We do things in secret without really having to think about it because nobody's going to know. What isn't known won't hurt us. We learn this as just little tykes. The darkness seems to give us the freedom to do what we want. So we should not think it is strange that when the great light dawns upon us, that we can end up hating the light and loving the darkness. We don't want to make a clean break with our life of doing what we want. There are things that we would like to continue to do in the darkness, even after the light has come. It's not uncommon for Christians to want to bring a little piece of hell with them, some sin that's given them solace and satisfaction over the years, with them into heaven. But that's not possible. The light has to obliterate the darkness. This can seem like it's a great hardship, but really it isn't. There's a great delusion with secrecy and darkness. The lie is that what we pursue in the darkness is good, and we think it's good because we enjoy it. It's the spice of life. It's like an alcoholic thinking that his alcohol is his medicine. He can't do without it. But the alcohol is not giving him life. It's dishing out death one dose after another. And so it is with all that gets pursued in the darkness. There's an implied promise that there will be blessing here by pursuing such things. But all that gets accomplished is that we become more and more frightened of God and of his judgment. And the last thing that we want is for the light to come and to expose what we've been doing. A further delusion is that if we abandon those things that we love to do in the darkness, then life will be boring and lame. But God is not stingy with his blessings. God is well pleased with his creatures doing our creaturely things. He wants us to eat and to drink and be merry. Intimate love is so well pleasing to him that he crowns it with the birth of children. A trick gets pulled on us when we think that pursuing illicit things in the darkness is the only way that we're ever going to be really happy. One old Christian thinker said that evil is not able to create anything. All that evil does is it takes something that God created as good and it twists it and perverts it and therefore makes it shameful. There might be a bit of truth in the idea of wanting to take something of hell with us together into heaven. Whatever is truly good, Whatever comes from the Creator that gets twisted in the darkness, this goodness is indeed stored up for us in heaven. And it will be better than anything that we've ever had in the darkness. It is the darkness that we have to leave behind, not the goodness. It is the lying that we have to leave behind, not the enjoyment. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will walk not in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is good. Light is good. The light purifies, and it gives life. These things are true, no matter what anybody might say about them. Jesus has not come to take anything away from us, except the darkness, the lies, and the sins. And he does take them away. And then he gives. The first thing from which everything else must flow is the way that God accepts us and takes us in as his own. Isaiah says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." That's Jesus that he's talking about. Jesus was born and given as God's gift to us, as though he's our own child. As the Redeemer and the Mediator, he reconciles sinners, those who have loved the darkness. He reconciles those ones with God. For the sake of Jesus and his cleansing blood, we do not need to be afraid. When God's light exposes our lives, because for the sake of Jesus, God is well pleased with us. Once we have understood that God accepts us and saves us and justifies us in Jesus, we can begin to live a new life. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Taking up your cross and following Jesus, we learn from him what is good and what is evil. What is good is love. What is evil is a bad conscience before God and a fearing of his light. Slinking about, fearing exposure is not good. It has never been good. It never will be good. That's because it is alienation from God, from whom all good things come. But Jesus' redemption overcomes this alienation and reconciles us to God. Every single one of us has been redeemed by Jesus. Through him, we can live in light. Then we are not living in dread, fearing exposure, but instead can look forward to more light and more life from God. Apart from Christ, there is only darkness. Nobody knows what he or she is doing as they search about for happiness. It inevitably ends with the futility of death, as Solomon says in Ecclesiastes. But, as Isaiah says, to us a child is born. To us a son is given. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. He does not come to take away anything from you, except the lies and the sins that were never really good for you anyway. Trust in him. Follow him. Then you will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The peace of God that transcends all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.